So Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he's just shared with them what is to come, the suffering, the cross, and kind of painting a picture of where this journey is leading. And it says that they are walking on the way. Jesus seems to always be on the way with his disciples. And they arrive at a house, and it says Jesus turns to them and says, "What were you," he doesn't say, "What were you talking about?" He's, "What were you arguing about?" You know, as they're walking, he must have heard his disciples having some sort of heated conversation. What were you talking about on the way? Gospel reading says there was silence. But you could picture the disciples saying,
"Well, who's going to tell them?"
He said, "Well, Jesus, we were talking about who's the greatest among us." You could almost picture Jesus saying, "I just want to go home. You know, am I making any headway here?" And he says to them, "Who's the greatest? Well, if you want to be the greatest, you must be the least of all. If you want to be the greatest, you must be the servant of all." Jesus is calling them to a different form of leadership than the society at that time looked to, and perhaps even the type of leadership our society talks about. But I think this leadership that Jesus is sharing is really what we hunger for. This kind of being the least among us and being the servant to all. I'd like to share this morning a story of somebody who I think was that kind of a leader, that kind of a person who was the servant to others and was the least among the community he was a part of, and yet was the greatest. And that person is not someone who we may think of as a church person, but that person, or someone who we may know as a great saint, although I think he was in a different kind of way than we usually associate saintliness. But his name was Neil Armstrong, the first human to walk on the moon. Neil Armstrong was truly what's been described as kind of a humble hero. And my daughter Rebecca and I had a chance a week and a half ago to attend Neil Armstrong's memorial service at the National Cathedral in Washington. Neil Armstrong passed away a few weeks back. And the National Cathedral was having a memorial service, which was designed for NASA employees, both past and present. It was designed for astronauts. It was designed for the dignitaries of Washington and the NASA program. And there were a limited number of seats for the people who don't fit those categories. And I was able, to make a long story short, able to get a couple of tickets to this service. I found out about it on Tuesday afternoon. The service was Thursday morning. And I called my daughter, Rebecca, who is very much just taken with the space program. She's a geology major, a planetary geology major at UNC Charlotte, and also is someone who's just has read all there is to know about the Apollo program. For those of you who are younger, the Apollo program was that part of the space program that was really focused on the moon, getting to the moon. And one of my daughter's dreams has been always meeting astronauts, and particularly meeting one of the astronauts who walked on the moon. Only 12 people walked on the moon. Only about 8 or 9 of them are still alive today. So I was trying to get these tickets. I didn't tell my daughter I was trying to get these tickets. I knew they were mostly close to a sure thing. So Wednesday I drove out to Charlotte, picked her up, drove to D.C. We stayed overnight and went to the service the next morning at the National Cathedral. We waited online, and while we were waiting online with everybody to go into the cathedral for the service, we saw John Glenn walk by, one of the original 7 Mercury astronauts, who's 91 years old now. We saw Buzz Aldrin. We saw Michael Collins, who were on Apollo 11 with Neil Armstrong when they landed on the moon. We saw Gene Cernan, who was the last man to have walked on the moon in 1972. Neil Armstrong was the first in 1969. Gene Cernan was the last in 1972. And Rebecca turned to me and said, "My day is already made just seeing these astronauts, seeing Charlie Bolden, who's the administrator of NASA, and others in the cathedral." I'll tell you a little bit about the service. Before that, when the service ended, we were walking out of the cathedral, and who's right in front of us but Gene Cernan, the last person to walk on the moon, and he's chatting with people and talking to people. So I said to my daughter, stay close to me. I have this reputation in my family of doing things like this. So sort of how can we sort of do something here? So he's chatting with people, talking to people, and he mentioned he was going over this way, and I was able to get over there, and I kind of walked towards him, and I had my collar on. And to my surprise, he reached out to me and said, hello, Father. And I immediately said, could I take a picture of you with my daughter? And he said, absolutely. And Rebecca put his arm around Rebecca and chatted with him, said to her, what beautiful blue eyes you have, which she just melted. And she realized that he really looked at her. He really looked at her. And we engaged in some conversation. And I took a picture of the two of them. And then someone grabbed my BlackBerry and took a picture of the three of us with Gene Cernan. And we had a chance to chat a little bit. And then he departed. And Rebecca was just in awe of that moment. Kind of a special father and daughter event for us. But for me as well, I'm standing in this picture with my arm around Gene Cernan thinking, this man walked on the moon. You know, just I was taken with that as well as I was about 16 when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. So, historic moment. Gene Cernan spoke about Neil Armstrong at the service at the cathedral. The whole service was recorded. It's available on the National Cathedral website. It's also available on NASA. It's also available in DVD form. We've already ordered a few copies. Because Rebecca and I are actually in the DVD. We're in the recording. You know, they scanned the congregation during the service, and for a few minutes, a few seconds, Rebecca and I are on there, and Rebecca's thrilled that she's sort of on this historic moment in the life of the space program, being at Neil Armstrong's service and being in the video. Gene Cernan spoke of Neil Armstrong, and that's those words, this sense of being a humble hero. You want to talk about a group who probably walked along the way and were arguing about who's the greatest among them. Probably are astronauts. They're a pretty hard-driven group, and I admire every single one of them. But every single one of them wanted to be the first on the moon. And Neil Armstrong was the one that was chosen. And I don't know if you know a lot about Neil Armstrong. He was described by Gene Cernan as someone who knew himself. That phrase struck me. He knew himself. He was grounded. It's where he came from. And there was great admiration for Neil Armstrong about that. A truly kind of humble person. He says that being the first man on the moon is... someone asked him, what was it like to walk on the moon? He said, look, I'm a pilot. I'm about flying, not walking. You know, he still remembered who he was. He says that while he may have been the first human who walked on the moon, he described himself as the tip of the arrow, with the thousands and thousands of people at NASA and other organizations as the bow that thrust that arrow out. And that while he may have been the first person to put his foot on the moon, we all went to the moon. We all lived into that dream, into that possibility together. He never saw himself as standing out from everybody else, but as part of a community, being part of a group, being a servant to all, seeing himself as the least among everybody, but by being in that role, being the greatest. I don't know if you know about the landing of the moon lander in 1969. I remember it. I was old enough at that time. But the lander was destined to land on the moon, and it was all pretty much computerized. Pretty much it was going to land where it was designed to land. The computer, of course, on that moon lander, we have more technology in our cell phones that we're carrying around here than was on that moon lander. But as it was landing, Neil Armstrong looked out the window and saw that where they were destined to land was too dangerous. There were rocks and stones, and it would have been a disaster. So Neil Armstrong, being the pilot that he is, took over manual control of that moon lander. Let Houston know, Mission Control in Houston, that he was taking command of this lander and was going to find another place to land. The story is that Mission Control started to panic because there was just so much fuel in this moon lander, and it was enough fuel to land where it was supposed to land. By Neil Armstrong taking control of this flight, it was going to use up more fuel. And you may not be aware that the moon lander landed with about 15 seconds of fuel. That landing could have been a disaster, but it wasn't. 15 seconds of fuel. Neil Armstrong was asked many years later, how did you feel as you were flying that landing and coming down to the moon? Did you panic? I mean, what were your feelings knowing you were low on fuel with only 15 seconds of fuel? To which he responded, he says, you know, when the gauge says empty, you always know there's a gallon or two left in the tank. That sense of who he was, that sense of staying focused on the mission, Houston was panicking because they felt they might be low on fuel. But Neil kept to the vision, kept to the mission, kept to the dream, and made this historic moment in his life. It's also another example of this sense of humility is that Gene Cernan was saying that he and Jim Lovell and Neil Armstrong went to visit the troops in Afghanistan about a year or so ago. And when they got there, the humility of Neil Armstrong, all these military men and women, who none of them were alive when he landed on the moon, although some of the officers might have been, but the room was filled with excitement as Neil Armstrong walked in. Everyone knew who he was. And yet he would go around as he talked to people, introducing himself to everybody he met. Hi, I'm Neil Armstrong. I know who I am. I'm Neil Armstrong. That humility of introducing himself. And one of the soldiers came up to Neil Armstrong in Afghanistan and said to him, "Why are you here?" To which Neil Armstrong responded, "Because you're here. Because you're here." For him, it was about relationship. For him, it was about supporting others. For him, it was that sense of being a servant and caring for others as well. Just incredible stories about this Neil Armstrong. He was buried the next day at sea. His ashes were brought out to sea on a Navy ship, and his wife dropped the ashes into the sea. Again, many have said another example of his incredible humility. There's no grave, there's no shrine, there's no one place where the first person who walked on the moon is, but he has entered into the broadness of the ocean. He's become one, you know, with the sea. He had been a Navy aviator years before, and he's returning to, in some ways, to his roots. Final story, he was told as they were going over to Afghanistan, about all the astronauts and the Apollo astronauts who were involved in the moon program, most of them were military. Neil Armstrong was actually a civilian when he was in that Apollo program. He had served in the military, but was presently a civilian. All the other astronauts received, I think I have this correct, what's called a golden wings. Neil Armstrong never received those because he wasn't in the military at the time. And on that ship to Afghanistan, it was decided that he would be given this award, these golden wings. I hope I have that phrase right. And he was given the wings, and they asked him how he felt, and his response was, "This is the proudest moment of my life." This is the man who walked on the moon. "This is the proudest moment of my life," because this was the community from which he had come. This is where he had learned what it meant to be a servant. This is where he had lived so much of his life. And he felt honored by that. So many examples of this humble hero who walked in our midst. So as we gather together today, I invite you to think about the humble heroes of your life, the people who have touched you, the people who have called forth this servant ministry in your midst, the people who have who've been the greatest among us by being the least among us, by being servants. Just as the disciples did on the way, on the road, we're probably a lot like them. We'll continue to argue on the way, you know, as humans do. But we're on the way. We're on the way, living into this life, this dream, this vision that God has for us. May we walk it together. Walk it together. And give thanks for the humble heroes who walk in our midst, who are the greatest among us, who call us to that greatness as well.